Penguin Random House Audio presents A Dash of Salt and Pepper by Kosoko Jackson. Read for you by Joshua David Scarlett. For Talia, and of course Arthur, you'll never know how much our walk saved me. Chapter 1. You up? In most circles, that text would read like a very ineloquently crafted booty call, one that absolutely should not warrant a response. Or, as Miranda Priestley, a fictional god among men, would call it, boring, dull, and derivative. If a boy texts you at 4 a.m., don't answer it, I would always tell my girlfriends in college. If he can't text you in the daytime, why should you answer him when the lights go out? I have firsthand accounts that my guidance has helped many girls in my resident hall, Clark Street Pride, baby, avoid some embarrassing situations. I would even give the same advice to the few straight male friends I had. Don't you dare go texting a girl at 4 a.m. and ask her to come over. If you care about her, you'll message her when the sun is high. Ask her out, wine her, dine her, and then, and only if she consents, you can finger blast her in the back of a movie theater. Hashtag romance. Because, remember, when we let boys succeed by performing the bare minimum, we'll never see them blossom into the men we know they can become. No, it's not our responsibility to help boys achieve their full potential, but if we don't do it, who will? It's a hard job, but someone has to do it. Someone, obviously, in this situation, being me, a gay, and my fellow female partners in crime. But, going back to the topic at hand, this isn't a booty call text I'm sending, for three key and very important reasons. 1. The message was sent to my friend, Maya, and I do not hook up with friends. Point blank. I don't have many rules I've set for myself that I've followed, which is probably a mark of my flightiness or inability to stay focused on any goal that doesn't have strict consequences if I fail, which is a topic for my therapist, when I get a therapist again. But that is a hard and fast one. FBI. Friends, bosses, idols. The trifecta of people you should never, ever have sex with. Someone always gets hurt, and the night ends with some sad ballad written by an airy, breathy white girl who sings in cursive on repeat, causing the neighbors to bang on your door or issue a noise complaint and lead you to being homeless on the street, begging for change, realizing a boy completely and utterly destroyed your life. Dramatic? Maybe. Factual? Absolutely. 2. This can't be a booty call because, even if Maya is up, there's no potential for her to be free to actually, you know, do the big nasty. She's a teacher, and they, especially those who teach second grade, never sleep because they're always working. So the whole suave acting like she might not be up thing is a moot point. Maya is as close to a vampire as one could personify, which we all thought our teachers were when we were in second grade. Vampires who lived at school and went into their coffins during summer vacation. 2.5. It's only 4 a.m. That's not that early. Many people in the United States get up at 6 to start their day. In fact, roughly 23% of Americans get up between 6 and 6:30. And if you include those up between 5 and 6, that adds another 32% for a total of 55% of Americans. More than half are up to make the world their bitch. And 3, probably the most important bullet of all these, I'm a raging homosexual. Like, a big ol' knew the lyrics to Rain on Me 20 minutes after it came out makes a point to analyze each queen on RuPaul's Drag Race each season to pick the top contender, homosexual. Ergo, in conclusion, as you can see, Your Honor, etc., there's no possible way, given the facts presented, this could be a booty call. In truth, though, I just can't sleep. A logical person would just give up and start their day like a normal member of the 55% of America. But being awake, truly fully awake, means I have to deal with my life. And I'm not at all ready for that. If I lie in bed, maybe just for a little bit longer, the real world lurking outside my window will stay at bay. I won't have to deal with the fact I'm a 26-year-old who just lost his job. I won't have to address the heartache and embarrassment of 3 days after losing my job, my boyfriend of 5 years saying to me, "I feel like my life is on the express train and yours is on the local," before kicking me out of the house. All of that is a distant concern, like a poorly formed dream. I won't have to deal with the growing cloud of self-doubt or the ballooning feeling of failure that threatens to shroud every accomplishment I've achieved. And I most certainly won't have to deal with the fact that I'm in fucking Harper's motherfucking Cove, motherfucking Maine, when I should be in Chicago, Paris, London, England, Edinburgh, or New York. Literally anywhere but goddamn Maine. I was supposed to be better than this, to succeed, to make it out of this town and create a life for myself more than the black boy Roy Gilmore of Harper's Cove, where the three biggest industries are fishing, miscellaneous mom-and-pop shops, and the school where Maya teaches. Me, the one who got a full ride to NYU and then a fellowship to the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. My life was S.E.T. I was going to be the Christina Yang of business school, with a touch of Meredith Grey to balance out the sassy. Everything was perfect. But you know what happens when things start to look a little too perfect in someone's life? Whoever controls the universe laughs in your face and throws everything out of whack. And now I'm back here. End credits. 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let me be perfectly clear. There is nothing wrong with living your whole life in Harper's Cove, population 9,000. Stars Hollow, I mean Harper's Cove, seriously, we're nearly the same population size, the same single high school and middle school combined, everything, is a great place to settle down and raise a family, if the quiet life is what you want. It's why my parents moved here from Washington, D.C. when I was barely 6 months old. It's just not the life for me. Which is why, as soon as I graduated from high school, I got the fuck out of here and intended to never look back. I thought my future, and by extension, my happiness, was in New York. Every homosexual does. New York, LA, London, Atlanta, the four homosexual metropolises for us. That, of course, as luck would have it, is why I ended up in Chicago, thanks to a professor who invited me to a speech by another professor from UChicago who spoke at NYU when I was an undergrad. Going to Booth School of Business and living in the Windy City made sense when the bones were thrown on the table. And getting a job, while still at Booth, at TixFlix, a startup that helped pick movies based on your interests and sold you discounted tickets, was supposed to be my stepping stone into the big professional world. Helping startups better themselves in the first 2 years of their inception, the most critical point of a startup, is where I thrived. By helping companies, I helped the owners. And by helping the owners, I helped people. And the fact that it was owned and created by a non-binary Asian American, even better. This fit my professional goals and my personal goals. I might have an MBA, but I'm not a monster who is only money-driven like so many people think. My parents taught me better than that. To make my time in Chicago even better, my boss at TixFlix then nominated me for the Carey Foundation, a 12-month-long study fellowship in Berlin that would allow me to take a mentorship under a professional in one of 12 specializations, one of them being startup support. That would rocket me down the fast lane of success, and I deserved it. I earned it. I know that sounds cocky, but I did. Life isn't a meritocracy, but I worked hard to get there. And finally, I had everything I wanted out of life. A great first job, great education, great boyfriend. I had all the right checks. I did all the right things. My life resume was padded to the max. I was a black person who was going to be a success story by all metrics. And then, like a poorly constructed gingerbread house made while drunk on eggnog, it came crumbling down around me. Now I'm right back to where I was 7 years ago, in my bed, in a room that seems frozen in time. The company I worked for went under. I got the infamous thank you for applying email from the Carey Foundation 2 weeks after my 7 2-hour-long final round interview spanning 3 months. Then my boyfriend fucking broke up with me and blocked me on all social media platforms, All of the
sample complete. Ready to continue?